Welcome to the Sunshine Economy. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening this week. Despite the record pace of tourism in 2016, it was not a record year for South Florida's hotel industry, according to a couple of its most common measuring sticks. The percent of rooms occupied was down, as was the average rate per night that hotels were being paid. Now, one simple reason could be there were just more hotel rooms for visitors to choose from. In economic terms, the supply of hotel rooms in Miami-Dade County, for instance, was 4% higher than a year earlier. There were more than 54,000 hotel rooms available, according to the Greater Miami Convention and Visitors Bureau. That grew. While the number of rooms sold last year increased, the average hotel occupancy on any given night actually fell in both Miami-Dade and Broward counties. Still, about 3 out of every 4 hotel rooms had a guest on average each night last year. Now, these are the official hotel industry numbers. What they miss is the burgeoning peer-to-peer business of playing host to visitors and guests. One of the most prominent players is Airbnb, but don't think of it as a hotel. It thinks of itself as a technology platform connecting people looking for a place to stay and someone with an empty room or home. Airbnb is an intermediary between the supply and demand, and it's growing fast, up to almost 33,000 hosts at the end of last year. A host is someone who is listing a room, apartment, condominium, or home for a short-term rental, one night or maybe a few weeks or a couple of months. This is all according to Tom Martinelli. He's the public policy director for Airbnb in Florida. He works behind the scenes with state and local regulators to rewrite legislation governing the business, rules covering safety, zoning, and taxes for the almost 33,000 Floridians who list a room, condo, apartment, or home on Airbnb.
That is the size of our host community. And, we've had a year-over-year growth of about 100%. So we're pretty excited. We're proud. Obviously, we have some growing pains, and we are open and honest about our transactions and our approach to legitimizing, like I said earlier, our product on behalf of our host community.
How concentrated are those 33,000 hosts in South Florida?
Actually, I'd say that they're about 20% of the 32,000. Depends how you define South Florida, but if we're talking about
Palm Beach County and South,
All right, then I'll give it like 35%.
Okay.
Obviously we're growing and we're not only just focused in South Florida, we're also focused in the rest of the state. Obviously we have, I believe, 600 miles of beach, which makes for a pretty awesome destination 12 months a year. And I wish I could take credit. Airbnb could take credit for that, but I'm
100 million tourists, according to Governor Scott in the last calendar year.
Governor Scott's been very proactive and pretty forward-thinking on the impact of tourism in the state of Florida and all that it does for our economy. And in that regard, he's been a great partner with us in this endeavor. But ever since the era of Henry Flagler, Florida has been just an incredible destination.
Tom, let me ask you about that business that the 33,000 properties do in the state of Florida. What kind of business are we talking about?
These are short-term rentals, primarily.
One day to a few weeks?
Yeah. It's akin to your regular lease, just on a shorter term, whereby folks are opening up their homes to host guests from all over the world. And what's nice about this is that we're no longer relegated to the traditional public lodging establishment districts. Now folks can actually check out parts of Florida that they would otherwise never visit. I'm talking about, staying out in Homestead and maybe checking out Robert Is Here, or going over to Little Haiti where there's zero hotels and enjoying the culture and life and environment that Little Haiti offers that is truly unique to that part of town. And so it's just cool for people to experience. We're stepping away from just, accommodations. We're also branching out into these experiences. And that's where I like to think that we are unique and we offer a different experience or a different altogether approach to tourism. We're really democratizing this tourism component of the economy. And it's just all based on options. And we don't create the options. We just create a safe, reliable, guaranteed platform for those that want to explore and experience to conduct their business.
And the majority of that exploration and experience for Airbnb is the lodging itself. It is the room in the house.
It is the short-term rental.
It is the short-term rental, the condominium, the apartment, the house, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And the report from Airbnb was that there were 1.5 million guests that Airbnb properties housed in the state of Florida last year. Is that right?
And generated, I believe, what was it? It was
$273
million. $273 million, thank you. And 113 of which was in Miami-Dade County.
These are dollars that don't go to Airbnb. It goes through Airbnb.
Correct. And it is income for our residents and our homeowners for them to go about, you know, their financial, you know, reasons, right? Like they pay their mortgage, they go get their medicine, they pay their rent, etc. We're pretty proud of that economic impact that is a direct injection to our host community and then trickles down to the, you know, the business community as well.
$273 million statewide that went to Airbnb hosts, owners.
Yeah.
$160 million in Miami-Dade County. This was exponential growth for you.
That's right.
Do you forecast that kind of growth to continue?
Crossing my fingers, Tom. From your lips. I hope so. I think we're trending in that direction. I think more.
What's fueling it?
I think comfort. I think we're seeing a behavior shift from institutions to people. And it's
meaning the comfort from going to a Hyatt or a Hilton or a Marriott that everybody knows versus going to Tom's condominium or John's home.
There is a shift from traditional institutions over to you and I. And I can't take credit for that.
The peer-to-peer is what it's called, right?
Yeah, it's just, let's call it peer-to-peer. And it, you know, there's a lady who has a TED Talk. I love TED Talks. Her name is Rachel Botsman. And I encourage everybody to watch this. It's just about how that trust shift is moving away from the institution to the person. And it works like this. It's called the trust stack. And it's designed so that our platforms are designed so that we can help cross that uncertainty gap over to trust. And so it starts with, you know, trusting the idea that sharing your car or sharing your condo is a good idea. From there, you need to trust the brand, or in our case, the platform. And we have obviously security measures in place that sort of give that comfort and that security and that confidence to the user to use the platform. And then finally, you trust the person, hosting or driving. And the first time it's going to be weird. The first time it's like, what am I doing? Who is this? But then the more you do it, the more behaviors start to change and the more you get comfortable with it. And that's what I think we're doing as one member of the sharing economy. And then these, like, as you said, the peer-to-peer platforms.
Are there economics driving this though as well? In other words, the cost, economic cost to the visitor to the state of Florida from a peer-to-peer home lending network like Airbnb versus the traditional hotel business?
I'd say, yeah, you know, that's certainly a factor. However, it's worth noting that we're not taking away business from the traditional lodging establishments. On the contrary, I think if you look at the Smith Travel Research reports as recent as last week, where they've actually studied Miami. They studied 13 global markets, but Miami in particular is not seeing a drop off. The traditional lodging establishments, in fact, are growing, and they're predicting to grow more. And they themselves are adding more supply. And you get
these are more hotel rooms coming to the market,
correct.
Right?
And it's just incredible to see the growth in the market for tourism. And it's a testament to the destination more than it is the folks here that have these accommodations.
So if the research shows that the traditional hotel business in Miami is not being impacted by the hockey stick growth that Airbnb has experienced, both in terms of visitors, in terms of supply of homes and rooms that are listed on Airbnb locally, as well as the revenue being generated and sent into those owners, who is staying in Airbnb? These are not tourists that would come to Florida if not for Airbnb?
I don't think so. I think that there's just it may be a combination of things. I'd have to be honest with you. I don't know the answer to that question. But, it, you know, with 600 miles of coast, fantastic weather, a very friendly business climate, you know, income tax. It's just there's a lot of factors at play here, and there's also a growing population. So all those things combined, and us adding this attractively priced model, and the growth of the business traveler and the families that travel, we offer a solution to all of those. And so I think the pie is just getting bigger, really. And we're not taking a piece of it. We're adding to that pie as well. So
at 33,000 rooms, are you the largest lodging group in the state of Florida?
With 33,000 hosts, yeah. 32,600 hosts. We are the largest single, entity that has this inventory. But again, as well, as for the good of the audience, that we don't have that inventory. It's not ours. They just happen to list on our platform. And there's other platforms that do it, but we have the largest inventory when compared to others.
Tell me about what the stays look like from a business perspective.
Sure. In Florida, we're seeing that our host is on average hosting 36 nights per year, which is 3 nights a month, not a lot. And the average length of stay is looking at like 4.5 nights. And what's interesting about this is, out of these stays and out of these reservations, the average group size is only about 2.8 across the state of Florida.
So about 3 people.
About 3 people are staying in each rental on average.
So if those were numbers that were applied to a traditional hotel, that hotel would be out of business, wouldn't it?
I can't speak for the hotel.
3 nights a month?
Yeah, well, I you tell me.
So what I'm trying to get at here, Tom, is it appears to be a big gap between what Airbnb is doing in the lodging industry and what the hotel industry is built for and is seeing. We're seeing occupancy rates 80-90% during high season for the traditional hotel rates.
Yeah, well,
so is the business opportunity to close that gap?
No, I don't think so. I think that because of the fact that we're an open platform, we allow people to get on and off. And I think that as people get more comfortable with it, they're going to get more comfortable with opening up their homes and their space. So, I don't think we necessarily can match that metric, nor are we trying to, because we're a different model altogether.
And that model rests not on heads and beds.
No, it rests on our hosts. We are nothing without our hosts.
As a hotel would be without the rooms.
Correct.
Right. But you don't take that inventory of rooms and the financial risk that a hotel takes.
I think you could say that, sure.
And so as you are looking at the year ahead in the state of Florida, and we'll talk about the regulatory environment and how that looks, the business trends are telling you what about that? Is that supply of 33,000 rooms, 33,000 hosts, are you expecting that to increase?
I think if we look at, the trends, we're growing year over year. It's difficult to say and predict, but I'm hopeful. This is a good thing for the economy at a time where Florida leads the country in foreclosure rates. This is a good thing for people to make ends meet, and if we are giving an opportunity for folks to visit parts of Florida, spend their tourist dollars in parts of Florida that would otherwise never come and stay within the traditional lodging districts, going back to it, I think we're just doing a good thing.
What do you know about the hosts? Who is an Airbnb host?
Sure, we vet everybody. Our hosts are, to give you an example, our largest growing demographic of hosts are 60 plus women.
So these are people inviting travelers or renters, short-term renters, into their homes or apartments.
Yeah, typically, what we see is an empty nester, right? Somebody who's, kids have gone to college, or is, just has a big home, and they have a couple rooms open, and they enjoy the company of others, and they are going to charge a small amount, and they host them, and they earn a little bit of money, and then they go spend it in the local economy, or they can use it for whatever they wish, pay their prescription bills, pay their mortgage, etc. The annual earnings for a typical host is around $6,100 in the state of Florida.
So that's $6,000 of what the average Airbnb host can expect to collect
per year
from the platform per year.
Yeah, from the host. Sorry, from the guests.
From the guests, right. But through Airbnb.
Correct.
Tom Martinelli with Airbnb in Florida. Now, of course, it's difficult to compare Airbnb to the traditional hotel business, since most Airbnb rooms are just that, a bedroom in a home or an apartment or condominium. There's no front desk, room service, or valet parking. So still to come, coexisting with one of the most important industries in South Florida, the hotels.
For us to be categorized as a traditional lodging establishment doesn't necessarily fit our mold.
Welcome back to the Sunshine Economy. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening. Worldwide, Airbnb is considered the largest lodging company with 3 million rooms or listings, according to the travel research firm STR. That company used to be called Smith Travel Research. Now, the analysis figures if you remove the shared rooms, the private rooms, get rid of the large homes all listed on Airbnb, it still has about 1 million rooms that are comparable to the traditional hotel room. That still makes it the second largest lodging company in the world, behind only Marriott International. In Miami, where the number of hotel rooms has been growing, the same research concluded Airbnb was responsible for about 1 out of every 8 rooms available for lodging. That market share of supply is the highest of the American cities in the STR study. It's second only to London worldwide. Still, Airbnb's Florida policy director Tom Martinelli says the company is not a competitor to traditional hotels.
Hotels built Florida, and we recognize that, and we're cordial with them, and we don't butt heads. They're not our enemies.
Are they your competitors?
We don't think so. I'd argue that they would say they'd probably say the same thing. In fact, some hoteliers have gone on the record saying that we're not.
Yeah.
And the STR research, the Smith Travel Research, also sort of corroborates that sentiment. With that said, I mean, at the state level, we've had productive conversations with the Florida Restaurant and Lodging Association. At the hyper-local level, in certain jurisdictions down here in South Florida, they are not necessarily pro. They're not going out and doing us any favors, but they're also, not necessarily, nasty with us either, for lack of a better term. But they, we have ongoing conversations. They have certain things that they'd like to see, and we disagree, but it's very respectful.
Why don't you consider the hotel industry competitors? Other than just that's friendly rhetoric, no doubt about it, mm-hmm. when it comes to a regulatory environment that you're mm-hmm. trying to navigate here. Mm-hmm. But isn't there a group of travelers that potentially could shop a hotel and shop Airbnb?
Sure, and I bet they do. But that said, I mean, the data that is coming out shows that they're seeing incredible growth, and so are we. So to that extent, I don't, there's enough room for everybody to eat the pie because the pie is getting bigger.
Mm-hmm. So you're servicing a different demographic?
I'd say that, there's folks that are looking for an experience versus folks that are looking for something, established and traditional and institutional. I think we are moving the behavior moving in that direction, and we're catering to a new audience that now is showing up and wanting to experience in Florida.
Do you feel that the regulatory environment is equitable between the hotel industry and Airbnb's platform?
Well, given the fact that we're different models, I think that the regulatory environment has never factored home sharing or short-term rentals. So to that end, for us to be categorized as a traditional lodging establishment doesn't necessarily fit our mold, but I don't think that they'll say the same thing. But it's okay, I get it.
Do the regulations apply to Airbnb?
No.
And why not?
Because they are for. First of all, there's a definition component that doesn't fit our model, right? And so we have to go jurisdiction by jurisdiction.
Meaning city by city, county by county, state by county, town by town,
exactly.
Right, right.
And to kind of clear that up and better define. Once we get to that point, right, and once we educate our legislators and our elected officials, they see the picture. And then you add in the economic impact component, and we have a very good picture. And we've seen sort of the cities adapt to this, mm-hmm. like Tallahassee. Mayor Andrew Gillum has been short of a pioneer on this, where he's looking at the trends and he's saying, my community doesn't have enough lodging or traditional lodging establishments to accommodate the swell that we get during certain times of the year. And we want people to be able to earn a little bit more money, and we want those dollars to stay in the areas in which they are collected.
Tom, what is it about the current regulations regarding lodging that don't capture the model that Airbnb is operating with?
It varies by jurisdiction. Some folks don't have anything on the books. Some towns, some cities, some counties don't have anything on the books.
But what is it that the current lodging restrictions are missing then? Because lodging, as you mentioned, Florida was built with the lodging right. industry in mind. And there are legacy lodging mm-hmm. requirements on all municipal levels, from zoning to tax collection to safety and public safety issues.
Fair. So I think that what we are looking for is clarity. We're looking to find common sense, mm-hmm. either clarifying the books or adding new definitions to account for this growth of in this new industry, and just creating that into the book so that our host community can be compliant and not be afraid of being misinterpreted by some jurisdictions and then get penalized. That's my job at the end of the day, Tom, is to get in there, clean it up, and make sure that we have safe, legal, and fair regulations on behalf of our host community so that they are as compliant as possible. Because I would say that 10 out of 10, our hosts, if given the opportunity, would want to be compliant. However, some jurisdictions just don't have clear mechanisms or don't have mechanisms at all. So that's my crusade. That is what I'm trying to do, and hopefully, you know, along the way, you know, we continue to grow, and we have some wonderful economic impacts for us to share and have pride in.
So what does that look like from a larger regulatory perspective? In other words, as you put proposed regulations in front of county commissioners, in front of state representatives, what are those? What is the most favorable environment, regulatory environment for an Airbnb in those areas that the company says the regulations in place don't apply to us?
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, look, I go back to Tallahassee, right? We approach Mayor Andrew Gillum, nothing in hand other than our business cards and saying, hello, we're Airbnb, right? And he was fascinated to learn. And so he did one thing that I think I would love to see everywhere else, right? Which is where he kind of looked at the existing regulatory framework and he said, this is too difficult. This is not going to promote innovation. This is going to stifle innovation. So he in essence restructured and sort of deregulated what he had on his books, and he sort of made it as easy as possible for our host community to become compliant within the city of Tallahassee.
You mentioned Uber. Uber and Lyft had drawn out debates, some would say contentious fights, in here in South Florida, in Broward County and in Miami-Dade County specifically. And one of the tactics that Uber especially took was very similar. It was your transportation for hire rules to the county don't apply to us because our model is different. What has Airbnb learned from that Uber and Lyft and the transportation network company debate that this community had dating back a few years ago?
I think we learned that there's an appetite to adapt on behalf of our elected officials to the 21st century. We're a little bit older than Uber, but to that end, we've been side by side in this sharing economy conversation where we are now promoting the democratization of the economy at the end of the day, right? Like, you can flip your switch on and you could turn on and become a driver if you pass all the vetting. Same with Airbnb. And I think that at a time where, like, going back to Airbnb for a moment, where, you know, Florida leads the country in foreclosure, I think our elected officials are seeing a willingness and a necessity to make sure that folks stay in their homes. And we take, you know, we weren't designed to save homes, but we certainly accept and are proud of the fact that we could help folks keep their home. So I think, you know, that to that end, you know, they led the charge and they got here a little bit before us to figure out the appetite for innovation, to figure out the appetite for this peer-to-peer economy. And we now see that it's there. And so we're happy that it's there. And so obviously their challenges are a little different than ours, but you know, we're there, you know. We're about to enter that.
You mentioned the foreclosure issue when it comes to Florida. Do you have any idea what percentage of owners through Airbnb are in foreclosure?
I don't want to say. I honestly don't know.
Do you collect that data?
I'm sure we can. I'm sure we could do some sort of study. I don't have it off the top of my head. I apologize.
But in the Airbnb sign-up process, mm-hmm. is there some kind of property title search function that you would be able to collect that information and verify it?
If the house is in foreclosure? I don't know. To be honest with you, Tom, I have no idea.
So why use that as a
Because
anecdotally you may hear it, but whether or not that's true is another thing, right?
Well, it's not anecdotal that Florida leads the country in foreclosure rates.
Right, but my point is you're using that as a point to say the owners in Airbnb.
It's a vehicle to earn extra income, a new source of income.
Sure, but
optimize your asset.
But do you know if Airbnb owners are actually in foreclosure doing that?
I suspect that there is some.
But you don't know if there are.
I can't give you a figure.
Okay.
Now, after we recorded the interview with Airbnb's Florida policy director there, Tom Martinelli, the company's public relations firm supplied us with the data, saying 16%, or about one out of every six Airbnb hosts in Miami-Dade County, say the money they get from guests through Airbnb helped them stave off foreclosure. Airbnb told us this is a self-reported number by the hosts. Still to come, the effort to capture and collect bed taxes from Airbnb-rented rooms in South Florida.
There's apprehension, I would say, because of the fact that we're so new, because these are tax dollars, and because they are not, I'd say governments aren't just used to entering into these type of negotiations with the private sector.
This is the Sunshine Economy on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks, as always, for listening. Today, we're talking with Tom Martinelli. He's the public policy director for Airbnb in Florida. The Sunshine State is one of the biggest markets for Airbnb and its online platform, allowing homeowners to list a room or condo for rent for a night or longer. Miami is one of Airbnb's top five markets in the United States. Hosts are what Airbnb calls the people who list a room or a home for rent on its internet site. There are almost 33,000 in Florida, bringing in millions of dollars. This is business that is supposed to be taxed. Now, there are two taxes that accommodation businesses face, a state sales tax of at least 6%, and in many locations in Florida, a local tourist tax. That's commonly called a bed tax or a resort tax. It ranges from 5% in Broward County to 6% in Miami-Dade, Palm Beach, and Monroe counties. It adds up. In November, the tax brought in $4.7 million in Broward County alone. Airbnb insists its hosts are responsible for paying the tax. But over the past year, the company's Florida public policy director, Tom Martinelli, has been talking with state, county, and local officials about taxes.
I think that this is actually, in my opinion, one of the easier things to do on the regulatory front.
Yeah?
Yeah, because the money's being spent, right? And so it behooves local jurisdictions to collect this tax, like right off the bat. And so, you know, the state of Florida was forward thinking in this. The Department of Revenue was like, okay, let's do this. And they collect taxes then on 22, now 24 counties. And so right off the bat, we were able to do that for almost a third of the state.
So let me drill down to that just so the audience understands. And for that matter, I understand. The state does not have a hotel tax.
Correct.
Okay. So when Airbnb says the owners collect the state tax, there is no state tax to collect.
There's a state sales tax.
Right, right. Which and is we that is collected.
We struck a deal with the Department of Revenue in December of 2015 to collect and remit that tax on behalf of our host community across the state.
Gotcha.
The Department of Revenue also collects and administers the tourist development tax, otherwise known as the bed tax, for 24 counties of the 67 counties. Our deal also allows us to collect and remit the bed tax in those counties on behalf of our host community and remit to the DOR on behalf of our host community.
So if the counties don't have the State Department of Revenue collect the county bed tax, hotel tax.
We have to go county by county.
Right. And that is South Florida, Palm Beach, Broward.
No, that's
Miami-Dade.
35, we've collected in 35 counties, including the DOR
county. But those don't include South Florida counties.
Correct. Yeah,
that's
what
I'm trying to say. Yeah, gotcha. You're right. 35 of the 67 counties collect through the Department of Revenue.
Yeah, and then there's four counties that don't have a tourist development tax. They don't have a bed tax.
You've got open conversations with the four South Florida counties.
Yeah, I mean, Miami-Dade, the county spokesperson said it was imminent in the Herald the other day. So we're pretty excited about that.
Is it?
Yeah,
you'd of course. You're at the table, right?
We've been at the table for over a year.
Yeah.
And
is the deal imminent?
I feel like it is. The county feels like it is. I mean, there's
you're not receiving emails with markup documents anymore.
Well, exactly. We're just in these final 5 minute conversations. No, I'm kidding. And then you know we're also working Collier. We're in Sarasota.
Right. Right.
We're in Duval.
Gulf Coast counties. Jacksonville.
We're actively engaged, and you know we're at, like you said earlier, we're at the table, and it's not, because our goal is to be as good corporate partners on behalf of our hosts as possible. For the amateur hosts, you have to consider that taxes are not. I mean, listen, I think I'm a pretty smart guy. You're a pretty smart guy, but when it comes down to remitting tourist development taxes, I mean, most folks would probably have to go up through an accountant or something, or a tax attorney. You know, so we facilitate that process for them, and that's what we want to do. We want to make it as easy as possible for folks to use the platform and to be as compliant as possible.
So when you're negotiating with the county commissioners about these tax payment processes, essentially, and tax collection, are the deal points focused on the process, or are you actually negotiating the tax rate?
No, you're
negotiating the process what accounts, what counts as revenue that will be taxed, that kind of thing.
No. It's okay. There. I mean, that's not to be questioned, right? Like that. Those are the numbers, and the tax rate is what it is, and we understand that.
And revenue is what it is. Revenue, a room rate is a room rate.
Of course.
Okay. All right.
And that's not to be disputed, and we don't want to dispute that. Really, that's not our point. We approach these counties and we say, look, we cannot collect automatically without their approval. So all this document is, it's an agreement with a tax collector, really, not even the county commission, to say, allow us to do this, so that way there's no gap. Right. And so that's where we are.
So what's the back and forth then? Why has it taken a year to get to an imminent announcement potentially in Miami?
I think it's because it's new. There's a little bit of uncertainty and hesitation to allow.
What's the uncertainty part about it? Who pays it? It's the owner that remits it.
Right, you know? Currently, today.
Right. But maybe through the platform, that may change.
Correct. And through the platform, it would be us collecting and then remitting on behalf of the host.
Gotcha.
And there's apprehension, I would say, because of the fact that we're so new, because these are tax dollars, and because they are not, I'd say governments aren't just used to entering into these type of negotiations with the private sector. But, you know, we've over time, especially through our DOR deal, we've shown that we've been good corporate partners.
Are each of these negotiated agreements with the counties that you're talking with, are they identical?
No. I mean, we start off identical.
And what amounts for the differences?
I think they're quality assurance components. They want to see certain things. They want
auditing, for instance.
Correct.
That kind of thing.
That sort of thing, which we're totally cool with. You're more than welcome to do that. And you know, getting to that point and getting them comfortable. It's really at the end of the day getting them the confidence to want to sign the deal with us and having a clear, open line of communication. And that's part of my job. You know, getting in there and making sure that we have these good relationships, forging this trust. And little by little, we're getting there. And I'm happy to share that, you know, as recently as 2 weeks ago, we signed the town of Surfside.
Right.
And they totally got it, you know, unanimous vote. You know, 2 weeks before that, Hillsborough County, for the National College Football Championship. Mayor Buckhorn, he gets it.
The mayor of Tampa.
He was like, let's do this. You know, why let that money go?
So the counties that you continue to negotiate, including the four counties here in South Florida, Palm Beach, Broward, Miami-Dade, and Monroe, you have active negotiations with all four. What is the delay? What is the...
I don't know.
Do you think it's on them? Do you think it's on...
No. I mean, listen, we just got off a break and... You know, everyone's kind of playing, you know, reset, and there's a new chairman at the county commission, and
here in Dade County,
correct.
Yeah.
I mean, it's for all intents and purposes is not a light decision to make, but we are, you know, I can't answer that question on their behalf, but I trust
you can answer it on the behalf of Airbnb.
But I trust that they're making the right deliberations, and you know, they know that we're here. We talk to them regularly, and so, you know, when the time comes, though, we're ready.
Is there discussion about back tax collection at all as part of this negotiation?
Sometimes there is, yeah.
And give me the sense of that environment and that appetite on the part of Airbnb.
Well, our position is that, you know, our host community is supposed to, right, is legally bound to collect and remit that tax. So, you know, Airbnb as a third-party platform, you know,
isn't liable for back taxes unpaid.
I mean, it's just we're looking at this prospectively. That's our angle. So with that, our host community knows, and when they sign up, they are notified, and so we have no reason to believe that they're not submitting or remitting their taxes. You know, but our deal, our agreements are always prospective.
But you don't verify if the hosts are actually submitting the local taxes in places that Airbnb doesn't submit them.
Well, we assume they are because they, right, when they send them to the platform, they get this information.
Right. And so this idea of back taxes, some counties, you say, are discussing that as a place. Has Airbnb paid
some back taxes? Some counties are. Some counties don't bring it up. Orange County.
You know, Orlando.
Correct. They were just like, let's just prospectively look forward. You know, it's a little bit of an arduous task for them to go out and collect, I would assume, from an enforcement component. So, you know, they don't, I think a lot of counties, when they do, they ask, and we sort of just unfortunately tell them that according to our interpretation of the law, we are as the third party aren't sort of liable for that sort of thing. But, you know, our host community, I'm confident, is as responsible as possible. They're trying to follow the rules. Is it easy? No, and that's the value of our agreements with these counties to in fact do that.
So based upon the revenue collected by owners that Airbnb reported in 2016, in Miami-Dade County, which has a 6% bed tax, the amount of money, in my calculation, that would have been remitted to the county is $6.8 million. In Broward County, it was $1.4 million. There's a 5% bed tax there. In Palm Beach County, a 6% tax, about $500,000, $570,000. And as you look forward to the negotiations in the counties, Airbnb looks forward to these negotiations, those dollars, which may or may not have been remitted by the owners, are in the past. If they were collected, they were collected. If they were not collected or not paid, then they're missed. Is that the position of Airbnb?
I mean, we don't really look at it like that, but we don't you know, sort of shy away from saying let's collect moving forward, and that is our position, and it's worth noting that again, we are at the table. We've been at the table for a year.
Sure.
If the counties continue to delay, then it's sort of like, you know, I don't want to say that, you know, it's on them, but you know, a lot of it could have been resolved if we could have come to an agreement earlier. And all that, I get it. You know, people have to deliberate. It's for the integrity of the Republic, for lack of a better term. So, you know, that said, you know, I just want to be sure, and what I want to go on the record and say that, you know, we're more than willing to come to the table and have these negotiations. We have for the last year. And so we'll continue being for the following year and the years to come, because our goal is not to run away. It's just to get out there, get to the table, and just have these productive conversations.
Tom Martinelli, Florida Public Policy Director for Airbnb. Earlier this month, those conversations led to a first-of-its-kind deal in Miami-Dade County. Airbnb agreed with the town of Surfside to collect the town's 4% bed tax for its hosts and then pay the city. Surfside is one of three municipalities in Miami-Dade with a separate bed tax. Surfside's agreement begins March 1st. Still to come, the difficult relationship Airbnb has with another town with its own bed tax and a big hotel industry, Miami Beach.
Once the dust settles off of this, we're going to come to the table and hopefully come to a positive, constructive agreement on behalf of our host community.
Welcome back to the Sunshine Economy on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Miami Beach has been built on the hotel business. The distinctive Art Deco district in South Beach and the bigger resort properties further north, the parade of hotels help give Miami Beach its allure. But for homeowners in Miami Beach hoping to harness technology and get into the accommodation business, it may come at a high price, like a $20,000 fine from the city if they rent out a room or home in the wrong neighborhood. Last year, the city of Miami Beach amped up its standoff with Airbnb and other short-term rental companies. Hosts face that steep $20,000 fine if they violate zoning rules and rent out their single-family homes for less than 6 months in a day. In December, the city tightened the rules further for those permissible Airbnb rentals, requiring those hosts to file a statement with it that their property is in an area allowing short-term rentals and that they will collect and pay taxes, including the city's 4% resort tax. Airbnb's Florida Public Policy Director Tom Martinelli hopes the Miami Beach beef can be addressed.
There's been short-term rentals here as long as as long as it's railroad track. But, you know, to that end, you know, listen, we have been negotiating. We've been talking to all the commissioners and the mayor for over, you know, 8 months since the agenda item, the original agenda items, you know, came up. And at the end of the day, there doesn't seem to be an appetite on behalf of the elected officials and their legislative body to want to properly govern this. Rather, they have...
It says Airbnb. They'd say they're trying to properly govern it by using the regulations
I'll say this. When you're on the dais calling your regulations punitive, you know, from this private citizen taking off my Airbnb hat, I'm not sure that that's good government. Hmm. But that said, you know, we've since then had a good conversation with Mayor Philip Levine. I was in the U.S. Conference of Mayors last week, and we talked. We have a good relationship. It's a positive relationship with all the commissioners, by the way. But you know, he and I talked, and we agreed to maybe have push the reset button on this. And so we're optimistic. I understand that maybe he may not be there for the next deliberations, which is fine.
Mayor Levine has announced he's not going to run for re-election as Miami Beach mayor.
But we're optimistic. I don't take it personal. I know that the company doesn't take it personal. On the contrary, we want to be productive. We want to have a good relationship. We know that we're not the enemy. We know that Miami Beach is not our enemy. On the contrary, we want to be good corporate partners. And to that end, you know, I think there's a solution. You know, I think that once the dust settles off of this, we're going to come to the table and hopefully come to a positive, constructive agreement on behalf of our host community.
Where do you see the middle ground here between today, Miami Beach's regulations with the $20,000 first-time fine for those violating the short-term transient rental rules? Not all Airbnb owners, I grant you that, absolutely, to where Airbnb would like to operate legitimately in the city of Miami Beach.
I think they have, you know, valid quality of life concerns, and they're very understandable and they're solvable, but it requires an appetite to come to the table. And that's what I got last week from Mayor Philip Levine. I think there is a willingness to come to the table and listen, it's not going to be Airbnb's way all the way, right? There's going to be give and take, and we're willing to come to that table and have that negotiation. But you know, the last round of legislation, I think that was sort of reactive, and you know, we didn't have a chance to properly engage. We were just reacting. And that's sort of like that wasn't, that's the nature of the beast, right? Sometimes you're proactive, sometimes you're reactive. But we're optimistic, and, you know, we want to help Miami Beach not only reform its short-term rental sort of legislation and ordinances and code, but we also want to be able to collect and remit they're one of three jurisdictions in the state that has a local bed tax.
A village or a town, local municipal one. Right. That's right. On top of the county and the state.
Correct. And so, you know, I think that if we take a good look at their code, it's just over the years, it's morphed and it's become this very complex thing. If there is an interest on behalf of the city of Miami Beach, which I think there is in my conversation, you know, we can really make this good, and we can really make this a win-win-win for everybody involved, a win for the city, in the form of taxes, in the form of good regulations, a win for our host community, and obviously, you know, a win for us.
There's a proposal at the state level for legislation that would not allow Miami Beach to have any local regulations, that would not allow any local municipality to have any new regulations if the state legislation is successful, and in fact would repeal any local legislation, local ordinances that were put in place since 2011. Is this legislation that Airbnb is behind?
No, we're not. We're not behind this. And it's interesting to know there's also another piece of legislation that does the exact opposite. It sort of strengthens the locals. We're not part of any. And interestingly, there's a senator from Sarasota that sponsored this bill. And as I saw this bill, I was informed of this, I wanted to make sure that he understood that we were not behind this, because our focus is and always has been at the local level, building these relationships and working hand in hand with the local government. We take a tremendous amount of pride in that, because you know, we don't want to undercut anybody. But that said, we are monitoring the legislation. I met with the senator. He has private and individual property rights concerns, which, you know, to an extent I agree with. But to answer your question, we are not involved in that legislation.
It didn't come from Airbnb.
Correct.
It didn't come from a lobbyist. It doesn't have your support. doesn't have the company support.
No, well, listen, we don't know enough about it. And truthfully,
so it's not like you don't support it. It's that you are agnostic on it at this point.
At this point, yeah. Okay. As there's a lot of movement in Tallahassee, as you know.
Yes, there is.
But to this point, I heard the senator speak to me personally, and he's got like a personal issue. I don't think that anybody in the short term rental industry, because newsflash, we're not the only player in this game, right?
But you are the largest, though.
We're the newest. I don't know that we're the largest. Hmm. But that said, we are monitoring, and we've sort of, like you said, that's the best way to put it. We're agnostic on this right now.
Tom Martinelli is the Florida Public Policy Director for Airbnb. Still to come, the Florida focus for Airbnb.
I think that at the end of the day, when you buy a property, you ought to be entitled to do with it what you wish.
We're back on the Sunshine Economy. I'm Tom Hudson. We've been talking with Tom Martinelli today. He's the public policy director for Airbnb in Florida. Airbnb allows property owners to list a room, condo, apartment, or entire home for a night, a week, a month, or more. It's a business that has harnessed the power of the internet to break down business barriers. In Airbnb's case, it is meant to create a new kind of accommodation for overnight guests. And that disruption has come ashore in the hotel intense market of Florida, making the state very important to Airbnb. Here's Martinelli again.
It's massive. It's our fourth largest market in the U.S. And we have an intense desire to get it right. So it's huge. Folks have been coming to Florida to visit forever. So for us, it's a natural destination to want to legitimize.
Legitimize. Is it illegitimate now?
No, it's to clear up. That's what I mean by that. Okay. It's to make sure that our hosts are operating in a safe, legal, and fair environment, and for them to become compliant.
What does regulation look like in the state of Florida, and especially in South Florida, mm-hmm. which is a huge tourist driver, mm-hmm. for an Airbnb?
I think, my political ideology leanings want to say one thing. I think that at the end of the day, folks, when you buy a property, or you ought to be entitled to do with it what you wish. But that said,
that's never been the case in modern history. There's zoning rules, mm-hmm. there's safety regulations out the yazoo.
You're right.
Property owners to do certain things.
So with that said, and you're right, we want to make sure that the zoning maps and the code account for these things. And, it's not a one size fits all. Every community is different, and we want to respect the character of each community. It starts with education. We're not shoving it down anybody's throats. We're just approaching commissioner by commissioner, mayor by mayor, manager by manager, and saying, hey, this is what we are. By the way, this is what's happening in your community. This is the positive impact that it's having. And, please tax us. How many times have you heard a private sector company say, read my lips, take my tax money?
That's Airbnb's public policy director, Tom Martinelli. Jason Savka is our technical director this week. I'm Tom Hudson. As always, thanks for listening.